that in this pit it's very dirty with very disgusting items, and your close friend who has tremendous pity on you comes, and he takes a long rope, attached to this rope is chains, he throws it into this ditch that you're there. He throws the rope and the chains into the ditch with the hope that you'll grab hold of it and you'll be able to pull yourself or have yourself pulled out of this dirty, filthy ditch with this rope and chains that he's extending to you and get to a nice, clean, pure place. Ach yesh shoite, however, there is a person that's foolish, the otzel, and lazy, she'ein meivin she'oyavoy roitzel ases le'toy v'kozeh, who doesn't understand that his close friend wants to do him such a big favor, lach lo'itzoy soy mimokoyim hametunof lamokoyim noki, to take him out of a filthy place and bring him to a place of cleanliness, a place of purity. Kimuvon hanimshal. The message in this is obvious, that we're talking about the fact that the Torah tells us there are certain times during the year when Hashem extends a helping hand. When you're told that this period of time is very much mesugal for tshuva, it's a very opportune time to fix and to correct whatever you want to fix, and a person goes ahead and wastes the opportunity, they don't bother to do what they're supposed to do, chas v'shalom, person loses out. Rav Kochlesal says, "Shebe'elu hayomim mipurim at Pesach habo aleinu, these days between Purim and Pesach, which are coming up very shortly, she'oisek HaKadosh Baruch Hu lohitzi eisonu meheicholos hatuma, that Hashem occupies himself during this time to take us out of the places of impurity, lihiyos nitorim la'asos haPesach, in order that we should be pure to bring the Korban Pesach in purity, or nowadays, even if we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh, to be able to perform all the mitzvahs on Pesach, such as the reading of the Parshas Korban Pesach from the Torah, which the Gemara says clearly that during the time that the Jews don't have a Korban Pesach, when they will read the section in the Torah that deals with that, it'll be considered exactly as if they brought a Korban Pesach. So throughout this period of time, from Purim to Pesach, Hashem is busying himself purifying us. Nitztracht lonu, therefore it's very necessary for us, livli lihiyos atzelim, not to be lazy, leechoyz atzmenu betaharoyz machshova v'dibur o'maisa, and to hold on to a purity, a level of purity, of thought, speech, and action, v'yihiyu nishlam al yodeinu lamato ma shebikir b'cho kodosh, so that there should be completed through us down here on earth the bikir b'cho kodosh. There's a pasuk where Hashem says, lo yovoy bo'ir ad shebikir b'cho kodosh, I will not enter into the Beis HaMikdosh in heaven, into the Yerushalayim shel Mala, the city of Yerushalayim in heaven, until the Yidden have purified themselves here below on earth to the point where they're pure enough to enter into the Yerushalayim Shalmata and the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata. Ubevada yihye nishlam hatikun gam lamala. If we do this, if we try to keep ourselves pure here below, then certainly the tikun that's needed will be finished above. V'yovoi be'arba asar b'nisan Moshiach tzidkenu. And Moshiach will come on the 14th day of Nisan. V'ze nirmaz b'posuk ki yod al keisko. This is hinted to in the pasuk that speaks about the elimination of Amalek, where the pasuk says, ki yod al keisko, Hashem has placed his hand on his throne as a shavua, to swear. Rav Kochlesal points out, ki yod begimatria David. The letters yud dalet are begimatria David. Al keisko, sheyihye nishlam shmoi v'kisoi b'mheiro b'yameinu amein. That the name of Hashem and the throne of Hashem, the ko, will be filled out to yud kei vav kei. The case, the throne, will become kisei. That's the pasuk ki Yaakov bochar loiko, Ivo lemoishav loy. Hashem has selected Yaakov Avinu. Ivo, Hashem desires lemoishav loy, to rest among him. What is this referring to? Yaakov Avinu is the third one of the forefathers of the Jews. He corresponds to the third Beis HaMikdosh. When the third Beis HaMikdosh is going to be built, that's when Amalek will have been eliminated completely, and everything that Amalek held incomplete will be completed. what was kept incomplete through Amalek? The pasuk says, "Ki yod al keis ko." Hashem wants to swear, and Hashem's own name is incomplete. Instead of yud kei vav kei, it's yud kei ko. Instead of yud kei vav kei, and Hashem's throne is incomplete. The Hebrew word for throne is kisei, and here it's spelled keis ko. The tikkun is, through this kiyakov bochar loiko, when this third Beis Hamikdash shall be rebuilt, Iva lemoishavloi. The word Iva, Aleph, Vov Hey, the Aleph will be restored back to the case, it'll become Kisei. The Vov Hey will be restored to the Yud-Kei, it'll become Yud-Kei, Vov-Kei. That's when everything will achieve a Shlemus. It'll be completed. When? The third Beis Hamikdash. This is what Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran. In the beginning, all the beginnings were from Pesach. Bechinas v'achshov haschola sagula mipurim. Whereas nowadays, the beginning is from Purim. Meaning nowadays that we're anticipating the coming of Moshiach, the main beginning, the starting point, the jump off, for what's really going to make the difference in bringing about the coming of Moshiach is from Purim. Because it's that period of time between Purim and Pesach, those 30 days, as we explained last week, that are most significant in terms of an opportune time to be able to eliminate Amalek completely. This Amalek that's holding back the Tikkun, the Shlemus HaTikkun, period. And he writes, Yedidi, my close friend, Tilmoid es kol mashikosafti l'chobozeh b'diyuk heitev, study what I've written you very, very carefully, ad shetoven li'uvdo ulamaisa, till you understand this well enough to be able to apply it in action, to see to it that this period of time coming up should be kept the right way. This is the letter that we did half of last week and completed the last half this week, which is based on this Torah Likutei Moran, showing the significance of this period of time from Purim to Pesach. What happens then, and how it's brought about by a Jew being particular in machshava, in dibur, and in maisa, in thought, in speech, and in action, to conduct himself the right way. This is what brings about this mechias Amalek on all three levels. We explained last week that the key referred to this 30-day period between Purim and Pesach. That will lead to Yod. Yod is Bigimatria David, the beautification of David HaMelech, which will come through Moshiach ben David. And he said the most opportune time for that is Yod, Yud Dalet Nisan. The Gemara says, Benisan Nigalu, Ubenisan Asid Nigoyal. The Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim in Nisan, and they're going, the future Gula is also going to be in Nisan. He points out in this letter that that's specifically at the culmination of this 30-day period from Yud Dalet Ador to Yud Dalet Nisan, that's the most opportune time for Mashiach's coming. Baruch Hashem. There's much more to say on this Torah, but for now we touched on some points outside the Torah. We'll leave it over here. To one of his Talmidim. I don't think it's mentioned the name, but he was writing it to one of his Talmidim. We'll continue from the next Torah on Likutei Moran. These are going to be short chapters that are very, very easy to understand. Each item has a complete thought. Torah Ayin Hei. Rabbeinu Zal says, Histaklus Pnei HaTzadikim, looking at the faces of Tzadikim, Levad, alone, just that in itself, Hu Gamkein Dovor Godol Ma'oid, is also a very, very meaningful thing. Just looking at the face of Tzadikim is also a very, very significant item. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki Om Razal, because the Gemara says, Shehatalmid Chacham Hu Godol Min HaTorah, that a Talmud Chacham is considered greater and more important than a Sefer Torah, or than the Torah itself. K'may Sham Razal, how do we see this? Where do we see the Gemara measuring these two side by side, a Talmud Chacham and a Sefer Torah? And the Gemara is saying that a Talmud Chacham is considered more important. Where do we see this? The Gemara says in Makkos, Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis, Kamo tipshoi shar inchi, how foolish are those people, dekaimu mikami sefer Torah, who stand up when a sefer Torah is being brought out from the Arayim, veloi kaimu mikami gavri rabba, and they don't stand up before a great person, before a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara is saying, imagine how silly they are. They stand up for this, and they don't stand up for that. Whenever Gemara says that, the implication is that the that is greater. Imagine how foolish they are that for the lower level item they give respect, and for something that's more important they don't give respect. So we see that the Torah evaluates a Talmud Chacham as deserving more respect than a Sefer Torah itself. Nimtza, what do we see from this? Sheha Talmud Chacham hu godol yoiser min haTorah. That a Talmud Chacham is considered greater by Hashem than the Torah. The Eitzel haTorah motzinu. And about the Torah itself we find, Sheomer Azal, the Medrash says in the beginning of the Medrash Eicha, there's a pasuk where the pasuk says, Oisi azavu, the es toirasi loy shamaru. Hashem says, the Jews have forsaken me, and my Torah they did not keep. So the obvious question is, isn't it the same thing, number one? And would it do any good to Hashem if the Jews kept the Torah, if they listened to the mitzvot of the Torah, and they didn't respect Hashem? So the Medrash says, yes, most definitely. The Medrash says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Halavai oisi azavu v'toirosi shamaru. I wish that the Yidden would leave me, even if they would leave me, but at least keep their connection to the Torah. But at least keep the mitzvot of the Torah. Why? Shemo'er ki ha-mo'er shebo machziron lamutov. Because the light of the Torah has a property that a person that studies Torah, the Torah shines a path in front of the person so that even if the person is in a state of darkness, the Torah will light a path to him to Hashem. It'll lead him inevitably to come closer to Hashem. As the Medrash says, Ki ha-mo'er shebo machziron lamutov. Ma'kol shkein, how much more so, oyer ha-tzadik, the light of a tzadik. Shehistaklis boy levad, humoyil likdusha ma'oid. That looking at a tzaddik is something that helps a person's holiness in a very big way. Bevadai kishezoichin ledaber imoy, certainly, when a person is zoichet to speak to a tzaddik, toiv yoiser, it's much, much better, and it'll affect them much more. Argam ha-histaklus levad hu gam kein dover godol. But just looking at a tzaddik alone, Rabbeinu Zal says, is also a very big accomplishment. It's also a very major item. Now note this point of looking. We find, the Gemara says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as halacha, when we finish reading the Torah, there's a special mitzvah to do hagba. As great a mitzvah as it is to give kavod to the Torah by having an aliyah, as great a respect as it is to a person to receive an aliyah to the Torah, we say, HaKoel Havu Goydel Alekeinu Usnu Kavoid LaTorah. Let all of us show greatness to Hashem and show respect to the Torah by inviting this person to come up and read from the Torah. This is considered a respect to the Torah. In terms of respect for the Torah, however, the Gemara says at the end of Megillah that the most important aliyah, out of all the aliyahs that we have, the most important aliyah is Hagba. The one that gets to do Hagba, the Gemara says he is Noitel Schar Kulam. He gets credit, as much credit as there is for every single aliyah, for all the people that went up to the Torah, the one that gets Hagba gets credit for all of them put together. What's so significant about Hagba? The fact that the one that's lifting up the Torah is showing the Torah to every single person in that shul. The mitzvah in doing Hagba, doing it properly, is that it should be open so that at least three amudim are visible, at least three columns are visible, and the person turns around a complete circle towards the right, showing it to all the people in the shul, and each and every single person whose eyes make contact, they look at the letters. Shehamor shebo machziron lamutov. The Torah has a property that there's a light that comes forth from it. The Arizal says that bedafka at the time of Hagba, this light, the volume on this is turned up, that the light is shining much more brightly. This light that's emanating from the Torah, it's not something that we can see physically. It's a spiritual light that's shining forth from the letters of the Torah. And the one that shows this to the entire shul, he's doing a tremendous good deed for Hashem, a tremendous Maisa Toiv. So therefore we say that if looking at the letters of the Torah does so much, the Gemara says, Oisiyos Machkimos, the letters give off wisdom, seichel, to a person that looks at them, how much more so a person that's zeichet to look at a tzaddik, which the Gemara seems to imply is on a higher level, how much more so that person receives this chachma and this kedusha that's emanating from him.
You say leaving Hashem but not leaving the Torah. That referred to study of Torah specifically, or is a person who studies Torah is not dismissed?
It's both. Attachment to the Torah is not studying alone. Chas v'shalom, that's apikiris. Attachment to the Torah means limud hamevi l'idei maisa. And what's the leaving Hashem? Meaning, even if the Jews were lacking in faith in Hashem, in trust in Hashem, in closeness to Hashem, as long as they would play by these rules and study the Torah and follow the mitzvahs of the Torah, that would automatically bring them back to Hashem. Each mitzvah, the Gemara uses the term chavilois, chavilois mitzvois. Chavilois means bundle, and chevel also means a rope. Each mitzvah is like a rope tying a person to Hashem or pulling a person close to Hashem.
When the Gemara says, as you just said, it means studying and following, not just looking at it.
The answer is, you can't get away from the fact, however, the Medrash uses this term, shehamo'er sheba, a light of the Torah, that there is a light coming out of it, which when you look at it, light is something to be looked at. So there's no question at all that there is a light that comes forth from the Torah that looking at it alone benefits a person. This is why I went off on a tangent to explain the mitzvah of Hagbah, that we see an example where even without learning and without being mekayim a mitzvah, there is a significance to looking at the letters of the Sefer Torah. That also does something very positive for a person, because the Medrash implies that there's a light that's beaming off those letters, which looking at it is already making a connection. It's not as good as speaking to it, just as Rabbeinu Zal makes the point in terms of with a tzaddik, looking at him is not as good as speaking with him. So too, looking at the letters of the Torah without speaking them out and without the asiyah naturally is not as good, but it definitely is a major accomplishment. A definite solid step one to coming close to Hashem.
Somebody learns it but leaves Hashem. Is somebody who does have the Torah?
It's somebody that's, when we say leave Hashem, it means lacking in emunah in Hashem, lacking in faith or trust. So the Medrash says, at least if that person would keep studying the Torah and trying to abide by its rules, this would improve and correct anything that needs to be corrected in terms of the faith in Hashem, the emunah, and the attachment to Hashem.
So when we have this other chapter and looking around where Rabbeinu Zal said that a person can be by its tzaddik, and if he doesn't have proper emunah, him, it's chayshach, so does he or does he not benefit from, is it the same kind of thing where a person isn't on the great, you know, the highest level of amunah, but he keeps coming to a tzaddik, the R will also be master?
100%. As we're implying here that whatever the Torah has to offer, a tzaddik has it more. That's the implication here. Imagine you're giving respect to the Torah, more so you should be giving to a Talmud Chacham.
How does this chapter here differ from Sikha Ayin Beis? Because there it's gone into with tremendous arichus.
Exactly. It seems that these points, number one, were made at two different shirim. Over there, Rabbeinu Zal went into a very, very big detail explaining this concept of liroi sisatzmoi matzadik emes, whereas here he's stressing it in a different context regarding a Sefer Torah, making an analogy between this and the Sefer Torah. I'm saying it's both the same lemaisa. We're looking for the same thing, stressing the importance of coming to a tzaddik and looking at him specifically, but from two different angles, discussing it from two different points within a Torah. Baruch Hashem. Ayin Vav, Rabbeinu Zal says, Yisrael heim nasim adonim leba'aleihem. The Jews become masters to their bosses. When the Yidden have a boss, they become the boss over their boss. Kemoi Shomer Azal, as the Gemara says clearly in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet. There the Gemara says, brings an interesting item. The Gemara says, Omar Rovo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rovo said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. This is based on a posik in Echa, where the posik says, Rabosi Bagoyim, that the Yidden multiplied a lot, even when they were in Golos, among the Goyim, among the nations of the world. Sorosi Bamedinois. Sorosi, they were Sorim, they were rulers, leaders, Bamedinois, among the countries. This means even when they were in exile, even when they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, they were still Sorim. The Gemara says, Omar Ovam Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mokoim Shehein Hoilchim, Nasin Sorim La'adoinehem. Wherever the Jews go, they become rulers over those that are bossing them. What does this mean? The Gemara tells a beautiful story to show the difference, lahavdil, between a yid and a goy. The Gemara says, Maisa b'shnei b'nei Adam shenishbu b'har ha-Karmel. There was once a story that took place with two people that were taken captive in Mount Carmel, in Eretz Yisrael, v'hoyo shevi mahalich acharehem. And their masters, the ones that had taken them captive, were walking behind them. They were leading these slaves, these Jewish slaves that they had captured in front of them. And they were leading them into slavery, into exile. Omer lehem echot mehem l'chaveroi. One of the captives said to his friend, Gomol shemahaleches lefoneinu suma ba'achas me'eneho. One of the camels that's walking in front of us is blind in one eye, utuuna shnei noidois, and the camel is carrying two pitchers, achas shel yayin, v'achas shel shemen. One pitcher has wine in it, one pitcher has oil in it. Ushnei b'nei otom hamanhigim oiso, and the two people that are leading this camel, echod Yisrael, v'echod nochri. One of them must be a Jew, and one of them must be a goy. This is what one of these Jewish captives was saying. Omar lehen shavoi, so one of these bosses that had kidnapped them and everything, overheard this conversation and he said, Am kshe oiref, you nation of stubborn people. In other words, he wanted to make fun of them. You're acting like smarty pants, like you know it all, you know everything. Me ayin atem yoidim, how could you possibly know this? How could you know? You're walking, the camel is walking in front of you. How do you know that the camel is blind in one eye? How do you know what's in the pictures? Did you see what when we put the pictures on? How do you know that one of the people leading it is a yid, one is a goy? Amruloi, they said to him, these two yidden that were being put into slavery now said to him, Gomol me asabim shilafoneho mitzad sheroye oicheles, mitzad she'ena roye ein oicheles. This camel that's walking in front of us, as we're walking now, we see that the grass is chewed up. But the grass is only chewed up on one side. On the other side, it's not chewed up. Obviously, a camel only eats where it sees what it's eating. It doesn't eat what it doesn't see what it's eating. So if the camel is only eating on one side of it, obviously on that side it can see. On the other side, it can't see. Uta'una shtei noidois, achas shel yayin v'achas shel shemen. How do we know that it's carrying two pitchers, one of wine, one of oil? Shel yayin metafteif v'shoykeya, v'shel shemen metafteif v'tzof. Wine has a nature that when wine spills out on grass with its dirt, the wine spills out and then it seeps into the ground. It goes into the ground. Oil has a nature that when oil spills out, it doesn't seep into the ground, it stays above the ground. It doesn't push its way into the ground. V'shnei b'nei odom ha-manhigim oisa, and the two people that are leading this camel, echot nochri v'echot Yisrael, one must be a goy, and one must be a yid. How do we know this? Nochri nifne la-derech, v'Yisrael nifne l'tzdodin. Because we saw both of them had to go to the bathroom. One of them we saw went into the bushes, to be in a private, to have privacy. The other one went right in the middle of the road. So we know for sure one is a yid and one is a goy, because a goy doesn't have tznius, a goy doesn't have respectability, privacy. A yid, when he has to do something that's not respectable, it's not nice, he makes sure that nobody sees. Rodaf acharehem. So this leader, this one who was leading them into slavery, ran up front. Umotzo kidivrehem. And he checked with the ones that were leading the camel. He found out that Taka, one was a yid, one was a goy. He found out that this camel happened to be blind. And he checked the stuff in the pitchers. And sure enough, one pitcher had wine, one pitcher had oil. Bo v'noshkon al-roshon. He came and he kissed these two slaves on their heads. V'hevion lebeison. And he took them out of slavery, brought them back to their own homes. V'osolehen suda gedoyla. And he prepared a big feast, a big meal for them in their house. V'hoyomarakeid lifnehem. And he was dancing in front of them. V'omar, this goy who took them as slaves was dancing in front of them. V'omar, and he said, Boruch shebochar bezaroi shel Avraham. Blessed is the Hashem who chose the children of Avraham as his nation, v'nosan lahem mechochmosoi, and he has given them his wisdom. U'bechol mokoyim shehen hoychim, nasin sorim la'adoneihem. And wherever these Yidden go, it becomes obvious immediately that they're not beggars, they're not slaves, they're smarter, they're bigger than the ones that have taken them into captive. U'patron, and with this he released them completely, v'holchu labotehem l'sholoim. And they all went home in peace. The Gemara brings this story to show how there were many times where Goyim would want to take Yidden into captivity, and if they would want to make the Yidden their slaves so that the Goyim would be the bosses and the Yidden would be under them. And if the Goyim were honest and they would study these Yidden, they would be forced to admit that the Yidden are much smarter than them. And it would be silly for the Goyim to try to be the bosses over the Yidden. It's upside down. It's like a dog taking its master for a walk. Who's supposed to be leading who? If the Yidden are the superior nation in chachma, in wisdom, in brains, then it's only proper that they should not be enslaved by the goyim. So Rabbeinu Zal quotes this Gemara now, and Rabbeinu Zal says, Yisroel heim nasim adoneim adoneim labaleim, k'mo yisham razal, as the Gemara says, kol mokoyim shehim hoilchim nasim sorem ladoneihem. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains this now. Because wherever the Jews go, wherever they travel, when they're in Golus, when they're in exile, in the beginning, they are subjugated in Golus, meaning they are kavush, they're captured like, they're being controlled. But afterwards, they become masters to their masters, meaning, because afterwards, when the Yidden spend a little time in a place, they conquer that place. Meaning, because the Yidden elevate and fix up every single low place that they come to. All the low places that they come to in Golus, they elevate them, they raise them, and they perfect them, they make a tikkun for them. Kimoy Shom Razal, as the Gemara does say in Megillah, Asidin Bote Tartiois Vikarkisois Sheil Medubohen Toiro Barabim. It's going to come a time when the big theaters and arenas of the Romans are going to be used as big Beis Medrashes, where the Jews are going to be learning Torah there. Shenemar, the Gemara says, as the Pasuk says, V'nishar gamhu lelekenu. Gamhu, also that place, gam refers to the outside places. Even those places that initially start out outside of the Kiddusha, they're places of the Goyim. They're arenas and theaters that the Goyim are using for their purposes. Even those places are going to be converted to places to serve Hashem, to Bote Midrashos and Bote Knesios. Ayin Shom, take a look at that Gemara over there in Megillah, you'll see that the Gemara does say this. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki Yisroel Malin Umenasin Kol Hamekoimoy Sanafulim. The Jews, when they inhabit a place, they elevate it and they remove it from its lowly state, they bring it to a high level. The Alkein Nikroin Yisroel Bagolus Bnei Hagoila. This is why we find throughout the Gemara and the Nevi'im, when the Jews are in exile, they're referred to as Bnei Hagoila. Goila means Golus, the people of Golus. Why is that word specifically used? Rabbeinu Zal says, as we mentioned on Shabbos and as we mentioned many times, the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Daik Bishmo, that the name of something is supposed to describe everything about that item. The fact that the Torah gives certain names, a table is called a shulchan, if a person learns the Torah deeply enough, he'll be able to understand, Rabbeinu Zal brings in the chapter in the Kutimran, that without ever having seen a table in his life, by studying the Hebrew word shulchan, he would be able to know, number one, exactly what a table is supposed to look like, and all the different variations of tables, three-legged tables, two-legged tables, round, square, rectangular, marble, glass, wood, metal, all the different variations, he would be able to know just from the word shulchan itself. There exists such a kiddusha within Lashon Kodesh, within this Hebrew language, that if a person studies it deeply enough, they could have this information. For example, on a simple, simple level, the word Aryeh, which means a lion is the strongest of the animals. Lion is king in terms of strength. The Hebrew word Aryeh is Bigimatria 216, which is Bigimatria Gevura. Gevura means strength. These two words, Aleph Resh Yud He is Bigimatria 216, Gevura Gimel Bey is Vav Resh He, also has a numerical value of 216. The word Aryeh is the same letters as the word Yirah. Yirah means fear. This animal imposes the greatest measure of fear on those who come into contact with it. These are just tiny, tiny examples of how special this language is, how within the name that Hashem has designated for an item, if a person studies it deeply enough, using the information that's found in the Torah, a person could know everything about it. So if Hashem has given the Jews this title, B'nei HaGoyla, when we are in exile, then it means by studying that name that's been imposed upon us, we'll learn a lot about what we're supposed to be doing in Golus, what's actually taking place as a result of our being in exile. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki af al pi she'achar kach heim nasim adonim, even though after a certain period of time, the Jews become masters, umekimim umenasin umalin hakoil, and they elevate everything that comes into contact with them. Afalpikein still betchila heim bagolus. In the beginning, when they first come to a new country, they're in a state of exile. Ki afalpikein heim no venod bagolus. Because the fact is, we're still a wandering people, wandering from Europe to America, to this place, to that place, one place to the next. Aval achar kach heimalin umenasim hakoil. But the end is that they end up elevating and fixing up everything that needs fixing, everything that can be elevated and heightened within these places. The alkei nekroim b'nei ha-goyla. This is why this term b'nei ha-goyla is used. Ki ze oisiois goyla. The word goyla, gimel vav lamed hei, roshei tevois, makes up the first letters of this sentence, v'nishar gamhu lelekenu. That this place will also be given over to Hashem, will also remain as a center for Hashem. Ki achar kach, because once the Jews establish themselves within a place, even if it's not their own homeland, even if it's not their own place, heimalin umenasin hakol, they elevate and improve everything that's there. Just like you talk about a person making improvements, a person rents an apartment, they make certain minimum improvements, even though they don't own the place, they improve it. If the person is a good person, as a result of their living there, the place ends up looking better and faring better than if nobody lived there at all. Or then lahavdil, if somebody else lived there that couldn't take care of the place. Lahavdil, when the Yidden come into these countries throughout the period that they're in Golus, wherever they are, they establish yeshivas, centers of learning, they establish certain things that elevate these sparks of Kedusha that are dispersed throughout the world. They elevate them and they heighten them, and they see to it that those places, at one point in time in the future, will be used as places for Torah and Tefillah. When Mashiach comes, and all of these theaters and sports stadiums that the Goyim established, those will actually become centers for Torah and Tefillah. Kemoi Sham Razal, as the Gemara does say clearly, Asidin Bote Tartiois V'Karkasiois, that they're going to become places of kavod for Hashem. So we see that in this word goyla is implied to us what our mission is while we're here. This v'nishar gamhu lelekenu. Our purpose in being in Golus is to see to it that this also should be given over to Hashem. That not just the land of Eretz Yisrael, which Hashem has selected as His own place, with the main center for Kedusha, the world, not only should it exist there, but even all of these other places, wherever we go, we should see to it that those places should also be able to be incorporated and included as places of Kedusha. There'll come a time when all the tikkunim that the Jews have effected in all the places that they were, we're going to see these places actually shine to a large degree. Baruch Hashem.
If it happens that pushed out of a place which they've already raised up, what does that represent?
It implies that they've done all the elevating that they possibly can do related to that place. For example, Rabbi Zal once mentioned, the Sforah mention a mushal, when a person comes to a tzaddik, let's say, looking to be improved, looking for the tzaddik to help him improve his character, improve his closeness to Hashem and everything, there are one or two ways that the tzaddik deals with the person. If a person is really sincere, really good, and wants everything, the tzaddik takes that person and brings him close to the Kedusha and improves him and fixes him and takes this person that was originally dark, that was originally very much lacking, and brings a shlemus to that person. He completes him. What if the person isn't sincere? What if the person is coming, but they're not really coming for the right purposes, or they're not acting the right way, you know, whatever it is they're doing that shows that they're not really worthy or deserving, and yet the tzaddik is still spending time with this person, dealing with him? What does that imply? The mushal that's given is to a person who takes the Gemara. Certain people, when they're very old, they can't chew on things. Let's say a person takes a fig, an older person. The Gemara speaks about the fig of Rabbi Tzodok, that he couldn't chew. He was very, very old. He sucks out the juice from the fig. He sucks out the moisture, anything that he can get from it, and then he discards the fig itself, he throws away. So too, there are times when a tzaddik's interaction with a person, the purpose of it is for the tzaddik to suck out any sparks of kedusha that that person has and incorporate them into himself, and once the mission is completed, it's fulfilled, he takes that used-up fig and discards it. In other words, it's finished. He's gone as far as he possibly could go with that type of person. So too with these places within the world. Certain places where the Yidden are, like Mitzrayim, the Arizal explains, why is it that the Gemara says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as Hebrew law, that a Jew who is a Torah-observant Jew is not permitted to set foot in the land of Egypt, period. Because when Paro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't want to see you again, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, we will never see you again. The Gemara mentions this item, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch as Hebrew law, that a Jew should not go back to Mitzrayim. The Arizal says, why? What's the reason? The reason being, during the time that the Jews were in Egypt, their mission there was to perfect and correct and elevate and heighten anything that needed fixing and correcting there. The Torah itself testifies, you should know, that in this place, they did a good job. They finished everything. Every single spark of Kedusha, when the Torah says, V'achreichein yetzu b'rechush gadol, Hashem promised the Jews that when they leave Egypt, they're going to leave with a big rechush. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained, this implies, besides the physical wealth that they took out of Mitzrayim, this implies that all the sparks of Kedusha that were trapped in Egypt, the Jews took out with them. They left the place totally empty. So that now, if you're told that this place has nothing in it that needs elevating, that needs fixing, now there's no excuse possible for a Jew to go there. When a Jew goes to any place in the world outside of Eretz Yisrael, the only purpose for going there could be goyle, this v'nishar gamhul alekeinu, to see to it that whatever needs to be improved or elevated or fixed or corrected in that place should receive its tikkun. Once we're told that in a certain place the tikkun has been completed, a person going there, that's waste. That's something that's unnecessary.
And also, does this apply, or can this apply in Eretz Yisrael itself, which isn't necessarily Golos, but let's say there were factions that opposed Kedusha, trying to fight against them?
100%. This, in other words, there are people that are living in Eretz Yisrael who don't know from Torah at all, let's say. We say it in Tehillim, there's a pasuk, Vayitein lohem artzas artzois goyim, va'amal lu'umim yiroshu, ba'avur yishmeru chukov, v'sarosa v'insoro haluka. Hashem has given us a land, Vayitein lohem artzois goyim, Hashem gave us this land that was originally inhabited by these seven nations. Why? Why did he give us this land? Because it's got palm trees in it, because it's a nice place to check out. He gave it to us for a purpose. Ba'avur yishmeru chukov v'sarosov yinsoiru. So that we should be able to fulfill all the commandments of Hashem and keep Hashem's toros, plural. The Torah shebichsav, the written Torah and the oral Torah. This is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael, which implies that those people that are living physically in Eretz Yisrael and don't know from Torah at all, to a certain degree, in a certain sense, they're in Golas still. It's not really Eretz Yisrael to them. For them, to a certain degree, this could be Uganda. This could be Lahavdil, a place outside, you know. The meaningfulness of Eretz Yisrael, they don't really appreciate. To a certain degree, again, to a certain degree, we can't deny that any Jew, even a Jew that's not religious, living in Eretz Yisrael is definitely a tremendous benefit and a tremendous merit. However, to a certain degree, they are definitely considered to be in Golos. And the tikkun that's made when such a person that's not religious, that's outside the Kiddusha, is brought into the Kiddusha, that's this tikkun of Nishar Tamhul Alekeinu. That's part of bringing about the Geula. That's part of fixing the Golos. No question. We'll hold it over here for now.